My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brandt. He's a Republican representing the Old Dominion's 7th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Budget Committee, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, and a former professor of economics. He joins me now to discuss some major fiscal issues facing Congress when lawmakers return next week, ranging from how to handle the debt ceiling deadline to appropriations and now disaster relief. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with the debt ceiling. We're told that the deadline will be sometime in September. And of course, the debate that always arises is whether it should be a clean debt ceiling or whether it should have future spending restraints tied to it so we don't have to keep doing this every so often. So will there be spending restraints attached to this as conditions? And if so, what should they be?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, we're $20 trillion in debt, and we don't spend enough time in, you know, on the interpretation of what that means for our kids in the first place. But in the past, the Republicans wouldn't even put a clean debt ceiling increase on a Democrat president's desk, much less, you know, Republican, without any, you know, reforms or discipline going forward in the future. And so, with respect to what those reforms would look like, I mean, we should solve something having to do with the shutdown and the instability that markets feel in terms of paying off the Treasury bills first, et cetera. So we should structure that to make sure no matter what happens to the budget, the financial markets are stable, and we get that right. And then, you know, we're $20 trillion in debt, and we have about a $600 billion deficit just this year under Republican stewardship, and that's our brand, right? I mean, we all run on fiscal responsibility, and so we have to give the American people some assurance that we take this serious, and it's got to show up on paper. And then finally, I'll just add a little more context. I've been on the show several times. We're $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities.
Right.
And well, what does that mean? I was just at my Orange County school K-12 convocation coming up, and they announced that the class of 2030 is entering. And that caught my ear because Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid, et cetera, are about insolvent in 2034, according to CBO estimates, right? So those kids, when they graduate from high school, that's 2030. When they graduate from college, that's 2034. And that's when all of our major programs are insolvent upside down and will experience severe cuts in outlays, and we're $100 trillion short on that. So that's the context that informs what we're going to do coming up in September. And if you ask anybody, right, hopefully every kid in junior high, should we be doing more spending at the federal level or less? And we've got to start showing some restraint, or we're going to put the kids in a real world of hurt.
Let's talk a little more specifically. Where should the priorities be? Where should the cuts be? Where should the restructuring be?
Well, we got a ton of issues. We got the whole budget to put together.
Right.
And so we have 12 appropriations bills, and it turned into four, et cetera. And so all of them, I was on the budget committee, and our chairman did some good work, Diane Black, this year. She reached out to all the appropriators and started reaching into what I was referring to there, the mandatory spending component, that's three-fourths of the budget now. And so we've been chopping the discretionary part of the budget now, but we haven't made any inroads into 75% of the budget. So it's clear we got to go there. She found, and we all found together as a committee, $200 billion in savings, and that's a start, but it's, you know, not a big piece in comparison with a $600 billion deficit per year and all of the emergency funding that's sure to come when we want to help out the folks in Texas and the other priorities of plussing up the military. And so, unfortunately, it looks like we're going to end up probably moving toward a CR going through December or January. Obviously, January is better there because we don't want to have this repetitive cycle of this drama on the budget at Christmas every year. And so we've got to get our ducks in order, and we've got to make some hard decisions. And that's the American people, I think, want to see us stand up and start leading on the fiscal side.
Do you get the sense that leadership's ready to do that? I know back in April when the continuing resolution ran out, there were some calls for spending cuts. There was the debate at the time over funding for the wall, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a moment, and some other things. And ultimately, the decision was, well, this is not the time to fight that battle. We'll do it when the major appropriations debate happens in September. So September's just about here. Are Republicans ready to make good on that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of like the healthcare debate, right? The surest sign that we're going to get it right is you got to have messaging coming from the White House and then from the Speaker's office and then from Mitch McConnell's office that we're going to get serious. And that probably takes a year or two of prep work, right? On healthcare, we didn't do that. And so we failed on healthcare. And on taxes, hopefully, we have enough agreement there, right? You got the Gang of Six that we're going to shoot straight. That issue dwarfs the others in importance, right? If we get that going, the stock market's up, but the real economy is not. And so a business capital investment was shrinking 1% last year in 16. It's projected to grow at 4%, right? So that's capital machinery necessary for growth. We have to keep that part going, and tax cuts will do that. And so on that piece, I think Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and the president are working in tandem. And I really hope we're going to see fruit on that in a big way. But on the spending side, I don't think we've prepped the American people for that at all yet. And our leadership needs to do that. And it's hard because it's like telling people you got to eat spinach. But some discipline is in order.
So you're confident on tax reform? Think it'll get done this year?
Yeah, I think it's got to. I mean, everybody knows, right? I mean, we tanked on health care after we said we're going to repeal it for 7 years in a row, and then the Senate couldn't even pass a skinny bill, which was, you know, more like a Madison Avenue tagline than a responsible policy position on how to run one-fifth of the economy, right? It's $3 or $4 trillion, and we called it, we're going to do a skinny bill, right? Repeal two mandates and get rid of one tax and call it a day's work. Well, that won't do. Healthcare is in the tank, and we got to fix it.
We're talking with Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt. And, sir, I mentioned the wall. The president, on a trip to Phoenix at a rally there in recent days, said that he would be willing to let the government shut down if Congress denied him funding for the wall on the southern border. So is that a red line that you think is appropriately drawn?
Yeah, I think it's a red line, and I'd put it in a different way. I mean, I don't think the shutdown is anywhere near us. I mean, any eighth grade kid in social science class, when you tell him or her that the Republicans won the House of Representatives, the body closest to the people, and then they won the Senate over, and by the way, they won the president, and eight Democrat senators are threatening to shut down anything you do that are in the president's wheelhouse or the Congress's priority list. Unless they get their way. I mean, I don't think it's on the president for the shutdown. I think he just needs to go to the bully pulpit and explain to the American people how government works, right? So we'll negotiate in goodwill with Democrats, and we should be respectful to them. They get proportionately, they have eight senators in play with a little bit of leverage there, but we have the entire House, the entire Senate, and the entire executive branch of government that we won fair and square, and the American people spoke loudly. And so I wouldn't use the shutdown language personally. I'd go to the bully pulpit and explain to people what's coming.
Lastly, you mentioned disaster relief when talking about spending priorities, Congressman, and obviously what we're seeing along the Gulf Coast is going to require a significant federal response, but the debate has propped up largely in response to criticism that the Texas senators had in the wake of Superstorm Sandy. They didn't like what they considered a lot of pork added to it, and even the Congressional Budget Office admitted that about close to two-thirds of it wasn't directly related to Sandy. So how do you put this together in a responsible way while appropriating enough to get the job done without making this a grab bag for every member of Congress for their pet project?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Right, politics shouldn't enter into this at all. The American people are focusing like a laser beam. You know, Trump won the presidency, but people forget it was a movement all the way across the spectrum, from Bernie all the way over to Trump. And the American people are just sick of the cronies and the earmarks and the pork spending and the idea that the system is rigged. and that the cronies and lawyers and lobbyists are getting the money, and they're not, right? Their wages have been roughly flat for 30 or 40 years, the average person. And so everybody's focused on D.C., and so, again, the president just has to make the common sense case. We're going to help out Texas, and that's what we're doing. And we own it now. We own the House. We own the Senate. All the responsibility and the ethics is on us. And so we got to shoot straight fiscally, ethically, and help the people of Texas. And fortunately, this is a unifying thing. Out of this terrible tragedy, the American people can come together and support the Texans and help them out. So hopefully we end up unifying around this and helping out our neighbor as we should.
Last question before we let you go, sir. It's been an interesting district work period. You've made headlines once in a while for some pretty contentious town halls and that sort of thing. What's your biggest takeaways from meeting with your constituents over the past few weeks, and what's your message for them?
Oh, they're just frustrated. They're just like, you guys can't shoot straight. Get it done, right? So on health care, they're sick of spin. They don't want excuses. They put us in power. We failed on health care. And so they're basically just saying, you better get it right. They still want health care done. And then taxes, everybody, right, without exception, wants to get that done. I just got done talking about 40 years of flat wage rates. And the one thing that boosts wage rates, because it's the same thing, is productivity. And so if you do tax cuts for the supply side, right, and the left is going to make fun of that, and it's very important to put your arms together, right, and do a supply and demand curve. Guess who the supply curve is? It's everybody that goes to work in the morning. So if the left is going to attack the supply curve and everybody that goes to work in the morning, it's a softball, right? If Paul Ryan and Mitch and the president can't knock that out of the park, defending the average person back home, it's a softball. We need to hit it out of the park, and then we'll see the smiles return to our faces when our checks get bigger and we got a little bit more cash in the wallet.
Congressman, always good to talk to you about these critical issues. Thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, awesome. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt, Republican representing the Old Dominion 7th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee, member of the House Freedom Caucus, and a former college professor of economics. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.